This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
What's the ruling on Tawbah? How do we ensure that we are sincere when we ask Allah's forgiveness? How do you increase your fear of Allah? What stops us from repentance? What will motivate a person to feel that Tawbah? What is waiting for us if we don't fulfill Tawbah? Why does Allah link Tawbah with completing a good deed? What's going to make you stop? We cannot survive without Tawbah. A person can change overnight. If you give somebody 20 years in that state, this person is going to change the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There is a great secret that for many years and centuries, many have not realized and understood. It is the secret to the question, what is it that changed the Prophet's companions? You imagine Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, a man whom before Islam was an alcoholic, involved with women, perhaps he had anger issues. One day he was out on a trip and he forgot his idol, so he molded an idol out of dates, then he got hungry and he ate it. The same man, 20 years later, is the leader of a civilization that stretches from east to west. What happened in the middle? What did he drink? What did he eat? Did he do an MBA? What did he do? Did he go to therapy sessions? What is it that changed a man like Umar? That changed Abu Bakr? That changed Hudhayfa? That changed Abu Ubaidah? That changed a whole generation of people who were Bedouins, nomads, who had no structure, who had no law, who were simple people, who in many cases had severe moral violations. What changed them to be the light of civilization? The secret to their change is what we are going to talk about today, which is Tawbah. It's important to understand Tawbah in its fullest sense. For many of us, Tawbah is a checkbox. It's confession, which was something popularized by the Catholics, that you go, you feel bad about yourself, eventually, at some point in time, you go, you go to the church, a little window opens, and you say, I'd like to confess my sins. And you sit there, and you start confessing the things you've done to feel a bit better about yourself, and you go home, and the next day you do them again. The confession is just an admission of guilt, it's just to get it off your chest. But really there's nothing deeper there. It's a checkbox. It's a convenient escape. Tawbah, we have to understand, is the secret to changing behavior. Let me give you a parallel, just for you to understand. When somebody gets addicted to cocaine, when somebody gets addicted to meth, somebody gets addicted to weed, to alcohol, somebody has some addiction, what is the most latest scientific model for dealing with this addiction? The psychologists say, to change this person's behavior, there's five phases. We're going to compare these five phases to the stages of Tawbah. They say stage one is called pre-contemplation. This person doesn't know they have a problem. They think that their smoking issue is fine. It's a bit of fun on the weekend. No biggie. So they've not really realized anything yet. Stage two, they call it contemplation. Now the person has had some of the harms of what they're indulging in and they realize, oh no, the penny's dropped. Something's wrong. I need to do something about this. Stage three, they call it preparation. Okay, now the person has realized, now they start deciding, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to change my behavior. Next time I get the urge, I'm going to do this. Next time I get hungry, I'm going to do this. They start preparing and planning practically. How are they going to stop doing this behavior that they're stuck, they're addicted to? And then the last one they call is maintenance. So once they start preparing and now they get the urge to have a smoke, they say, no, I'm not going to. And now they've got to keep up this cycle. They've prepared, they've thought about it in their head. They've realized this is wrong. They've decided they're going to stop. They've made a plan to stop it, and now they're going to maintain this. These are the stages of changing a person's behavior. The most latest signs. Let us compare this to the stages of Tawbah, the stages of repentance. Tawbah in the Arabic language means to return, to take a U-turn. At-tawbatu hiya al-inaba. Literally, it means to make a U-turn, to turn around. The stages of Tawbah are four. There are four R's. I'm going to ask you all to repeat them after me, so that you're not all falling asleep because nice, cozy, warm near the radiators. Especially you guys near the radiators. I know. I've done this myself. You go sit there nice and cozy. Four R's. Okay? The first one is regret. What's the first one? Regret. The Prophet ﷺ says, "An-nadamu tawbah." Regret is tawbah because it's the hardest part. If you go to the science side, it's that realization phase where you realize, oh no, what I'm doing is wrong. It's harming me. I need to stop this. That stage of regret. Second stage, resolve. What's the second stage? Resolve. Not wraps. You guys thinking about chicken wraps? No. It's resolve. Don't think about the wrong R's. Think about the right R's. Regret, then resolve. What's resolve? Al-azm. It's now I've thought, oh no, what I'm doing is wrong. Resolve is I reached a point, I'm going to stop this now. I'm going to stop doing this. I've decided. I've decided I'm not going to do this anymore. I've made a firm decision. I'm not going to go back to this deed, this action, this behavior, this sin. Stage three, reset. What's stage three? Reset. I stopped doing the deed. I was watching something. I realized this is harming my life. I've decided I'm not going to go back. And next time I'm at my screen, I don't do it. I stop. That reset is really key. You execute the behavior. It's not just a plan in your head. Yeah, theoretically I should stop doing. No, I stop. And then number four, redeem. What's number four? Redeem. Regret, resolve, reset, redeem. What is redeem? Redeem is only if you have taken the right of another human being, you have to redeem their rights. You scammed somebody on eBay, you got to give them a refund. You backbited or you lied, you have to go and tell the truth. You know? So you have to, if you've taken the right of a human being, it's not enough to say, oh Allah, forgive me for scamming this person for £1,000. La habibi, mishkida, it's not that easy. You have to go and also return the rights of that person. These four stages, this is not just a checklist. This completely changes a human being. If you imagine all the areas of our life in which we have issues, whether it's family, with anger, with personal, with iman related, whether it's private, public sins. If we follow this cycle with every single area of our life, we will see the transformation that Umar ibn Khattab saw when he went from aggressive Qurayshi noble who has alcohol issues to leader of a civilization from east to west. What happened in the middle was constant tawbah. Tawbah is like a constant polish. You keep polishing until eventually it's so shiny it's blinding you. Tawbah is not a one-off thing. It's something constant in your life. It's a companion. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he talks about tawbah, he says, "Manzilatu tawbati awwalul manazil wa awsatuha wa akhiruha." فَلَا يُفَارِقُهُ الْعَبْدُ السَّالِكُ وَلَا يَزَالُ فِيهِ إِلَى الْمَمَاتِ وَأَنْ يَرْتَحَلَ إِلَى مَنْزِلٍ آخَرٍ يَرْتَحَلَ بِهِ وَاسْتَصْحَبَهُ مَعَهُ وَنَزَلَ بِهِ. He said repentance is not a one-off checkbox on your journey to Allah. It's the first and the middle and the last, like it's always with you. It's a constant state of being. It's a constant state of mind. I'm constantly trimming away at my bad habits. I'm constantly assessing myself. I'm constantly chopping those bad habits. I'm constantly working on myself. If you give somebody 20 years in that state, this person is going to change the world. If they keep doing tawbah again and again in every aspect of their life. Who can tell me what's the ruling on tawbah? Is it optional? Is it recommended? Is it obligatory? Is it haram? Is it disliked? Who can tell me what's the ruling on tawbah? Yes. You think it's obligatory? Anybody else? Anybody thinks tawbah is recommended? You don't have to do it? Who can give me the evidence that tawbah is obligatory? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. Allah says, O believers, repent to Allah sincere repentance. Allah commanded, by default, a command is obligatory. Which means, if I commit a sin, I swear, I backbite, I eat something haram, I earn haram income, I look at something, I speak to my parents and say, if I do something that's prohibited, it's obligatory on me to repent for this. It's not optional. If I don't repent on it, I now have two sins. The original sin and the sin of not repenting. I've made two sins. Tawbah is obligatory. It's an obligation. It's like salah. It's like fasting in Ramadan. You can't not do it. It's an essential component of your journey to Allah. So regret, resolve, reset, and redeem. What I want to talk a little bit about is what stops us from repentance. And I want to go to this story that I recited in the beginning of this talk, which is the story of Adam alayhi salam. The first repentance. The first repentance is a very telling story because it exposes the psychology of sin. It exposes the strategies of Satan. And it reveals to us what we need to do if we want to live a life of constant improvement, constant change in our behaviors and constant repentance. The first thing to notice is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He orders Adam alayhi salam and his wife to live in Jannah, before this, He's ordered Shaitan to do, Iblis to do something, which is to prostrate. What does Iblis say when Allah asks him to prostrate to Adam?
قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ.
I'm better than him. You created me from fire. You created him from clay. What is this? If I see you outside, let's say for instance, I found you outside. I find you with a cigarette smoking. I say, brother, don't smoke. You say, it's okay. My lungs can handle it. What's that? That sentence, my lungs can handle it. What is that? What would you call that? It's not arrogance. It starts with a J. It's justification. I find you in a shop or somewhere. I find you in a shisha store. You sat there smoking amongst a group of women. I said, brother, don't do this. You say, just a little while. We all have to socialize. What's this? The justification. Iblis shows one of the greatest, he knew he did something wrong. He passed the contemplation phase. But what stopped him from repenting? He gave himself an excuse. I don't need to prostrate because I'm better than him. Right? This is how most of us often, one of the major ways in which we don't repent to Allah, we know we did something wrong. But we, in our heads, that we have an explanation for ourselves. We justified it. Brother, why do you work in the bank? Oh, you know, I have to look at the economy. There's some scholars, some fatwa. Brother, Allah wages war against riba. But you know, different interpretations, the ikhtilaf in this matter. Okay? In our heads, we've justified the sin. Someone goes backbites about somebody else. In a gathering, he said, brother, don't talk about that person behind their back. It's like eating their flesh. But they're not, subhanAllah, brother, you know, sometimes it's not backbiting. I could have said it to their face. Okay. Then you would have two sins. of insult and backbiting. What kind of an excuse is this? We justify to ourselves so many things. And this is the manhaj of Iblis. That's the manhaj that we follow when we do this. We justify to ourselves our sins. Now let us come to Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. Allah tells them, go live in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, do not come close to this tree, هذه الشجرة. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then what happens?
فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبَدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِن سَوْآتِهِمَا.
Shaitan begins to whisper, because nothing happens overnight. He begins to justify to them why that the fruit from the forbidden tree is actually the best fruit actually. He gives them a sales pitch. Iblis begins to give them a sales pitch. What does he say? He comes to them. He says, guys, the only reason Allah stopped you from eating from this tree is because if you eat from the tree, you'll become angels. Or you'll live forever. There's so many benefits. There's so many positives. Just one negative, Allah didn't let you do it. But there's so many positives. Come on, guys. And he swore to them, I'm sincere. I'm a sincere advisor to you. I'm not trying to, I've got no agenda here. What's he doing? What's he giving them? He's giving them a justification. You know it's haram, but you know, come on, the good outweighs the bad. Give it a go. This is the inner talk that we tell ourselves when we're about to do something wrong. We give ourselves a justification. There are so many things that we have justified to ourselves. So many sins. And they go eventually. And through his slow but steady deception, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. Dalla in Arabic, Dalu is a well. And Dalla is when you stand up top of the well and you pull the rope to slowly get the bucket out. That's how Shaitan slowly, he reels them in. دَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ. The moment they taste the fruit from the tree, their clothes begin to be stripped from them and they become exposed. What was Iblis's objective? Was his objective for them to sin? For them to break the law of Allah? That wasn't his ultimate objective. What was his objective? He wanted them to be exposed. Iblis's goal is not for them to eat the forbidden fruit. He has a deeper, more dangerous agenda. He wants them to strip themselves and lose their modesty. لِيُبَدِيَ عَنْهُمَا مَا وُورِيَ مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. He wanted, the ultimate goal, the ultimate agenda, he wants them to strip themselves. Because Iblis's agenda, he helps you justify a sin. He tells you, you don't need to do tawbah, it's okay mate, minor. Keep it moving. You do the next one, you do another, it's a domino effect. الذنب يجري ذنب ثم يجري ذنب. Suddenly you find yourself committing a major sin. Never expected yourself to be here. But his ultimate goal is for you to disbelieve. But he's happy to wait and push you towards minor sins for 5-6 years. You miss one salah, great. Breakthrough. As now that the status of salah is broken in your heart, you'll keep missing salah. Then one day you'll swear at your parents. Then one by one he'll knock the dominoes until you get to the point. You've got this accumulation of sins. You've got this high threshold of tolerance now. And now he's going to completely break you. This is the antithesis of tawbah. If you don't do tawbah, it will lead to your destruction. This is the story of Adam alayhi salam. If you leave Satan to play his tricks and you leave yourself to justify to yourself your sins, it will just be a gradual, step-by-step domino effect to your complete and utter destruction. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَالْجَبَلِ يَخَافُ أَنْ يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ. A believer sees their sins as a mountain, they're terrified it's going to collapse on them at any time. وَإِنَّ الْمُنَافِقَ لَيَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَالذُّبَابِ. But a hypocrite sees their sins as a fly. It's an annoying little thing. Get it away from me. So there's three, four reasons why we don't do tawbah. The first one we've discussed, justification. We justify to ourselves, it's okay. The second one is denial. We think we've not done a sin. We actually think we've done nothing wrong. Iblis, alayhi al-la'na, is in denial, complete denial. Doesn't realize, doesn't acknowledge that what he did was wrong. Many of us fall into this category. Some of us know what we did was wrong, but we then justify it's okay because of this circumstance of mine. The third one is complacency. Sometimes we just get too comfortable. You see, with your health, your physical health, you stop exercising 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4, 6 months, 9, 12 months. One day a friend calls you, let's go play some football. You say, great, let's go. You put on your football boots, you go. Within the first 3 minutes, you're lying down, breathing in pain because of some muscle pull. What happened, Habibi? 12 months, no exercise. You don't know stretching. Now you think you're Usain Bolt. What do you think is going to happen? They say that you're going to pull something. This, when you get too comfortable, this is exactly the way that we fall into further and further sins. If you don't do tawbah for a long time, you don't cleanse the heart, you don't cleanse yourself of the effects of the sins, at some point, your behavior is going to slowly get worse, 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 worse. A person without tawbah is walking slowly but surely to their own destruction. And that's exactly what happens. And suddenly they find themselves having pulled a muscle. Oh no. I haven't done tawbah for so long, and now I've done something major. I got too comfortable. One of the secrets of being consistent with tawbah every day of your life is to constantly be on your toes, to constantly exercise your accountability, to be harsh with yourself, to hold yourself to account, to be real with yourself, to understand really what I did was terrible, what I did was wrong, what I did was unacceptable, to constantly feel, you know what? These sins could destroy me. These sins are not small. And the last one is despair. The reason people don't do tawbah: denial, justification, complacency, despair. And despair is considered a form of disbelief. Kufr. People don't realize this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. The only people who despair in Allah's mercy are disbelievers. A Muslim cannot despair in Allah's mercy. It's not possible. Either you don't know Allah, or you know Allah but you misunderstood Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is endless. But we have to go on this journey if we are to realize tawbah is the way Allah changes people. And not having tawbah is the way people become worse and worse until they're destroyed. This is what I want everybody to really understand. There's a reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عن غر المزني رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه ليغان على قلبي وإني لأستغفر الله في اليوم 70 مرة. He says, sometimes my heart feels agitated and I sit and I seek Allah's forgiveness 70 times. 70 times. The man who is free of sin, who is innocent, who has no major or minor sins, he asks Allah's forgiveness 70 times a day. There is a reason why. When you complete a good deed, when you complete an act of worship, if you notice the pattern, Allah asks you to seek His forgiveness. You say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. What's the first thing you would say after? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. You go to Hajj, you go to Umrah. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ. When you finish your acts of worship, your rites of Hajj, Allah says, what do? Do sit down, do istighfar, ask Allah's forgiveness. Why does Allah link tawbah with completing a good deed, with victory, with reaching the other side? Imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 23 years of struggle, strife, loss, death, blood, sweat, tears. Finally, he gets to the other side. Allah reveals the last complete surah. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When the victory of Allah comes.
وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا.
When you see people entering the deen of Allah in hordes. What do you do? You've reached the end. You achieved the goal. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's done. Now what do I want you to do?
فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ
وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. I want you to seek my forgiveness. Okay, what did I do wrong? Why is he seeking forgiveness? You finished salah, you did a great act of worship. Why are you saying astaghfirullah? What did you do wrong? What is the secret behind Allah linking istighfar, the seeking of his forgiveness, with the completion of good deeds? It's because when you complete a good deed, you know what can creep into your heart? A little bit of arrogance. Look at me. I prayed my salah. Look at me. I'm the conqueror. Look at me. I'm the boss man. You're not the boss man, Habibi. Definitely not. Because how many shortcomings did you have in that act of worship? How many shortcomings did you have on the way to that victory? Humble yourself now. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. From the day this surah was revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, until the day the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he changed his salah. What do you say in ruku' when you go into bowing? What do you say? Subhana rabbil azim. He stopped saying this. He said, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika rabbi ghfirli. Because Allah commanded him, seek forgiveness from me. From that day, every single time he went in ruku', oh Allah, forgive me. What does he have to ask forgiveness for? It is not that asking forgiveness is just an obligation he's fulfilling. Seeking repentance from Allah is a model for change and improvement, constant improvement until you are the best version of yourself. One of the greatest examples of tawbah and the impact of tawbah on a human being and the way it can completely transform a human being are the magicians of Fir'aun. These magicians are disbelievers who are coming to wage war against one of Allah's messengers. These are the most disgusting of Allah's creation. But as they are waging war in front of Musa with their magic, and they have a realization. What did I say? The first step was regret. You need to realize what I'm doing is wrong. They had a realization that what Musa alayhi salam brought is not magic, is something else. Immediately, they took action. Because tawbah is not sitting down and saying, Astaghfirullah wa atubu. No. Tawbah is changing your behavior. That's what tawbah is about. If you're not dropping the bad habits, dropping those addictions, dropping those flaws, dropping that backbiting, dropping that anger issue, dropping that delaying of salah, those issues that we have, if we don't drop those behavior, if our behavior is not changing, that tawbah is incomplete. Tawbah needs to show. Somebody ta'ib, it shows in their behavior. This person last 5 years, look where they were, look where they're now. This is someone who's tawwab. They're constantly improving, changing, cutting bad habits. These magicians, the moment they realize, what do?
فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ.
They fall on their faces.
قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
We believe in Allah, Lord of the worlds.
رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ.
The Lord of Musa and Harun. Fir'aun begins to threaten them.
قَالَ آمَنْتُمْ لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ.
You believed before I allowed you?
لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ.
I will off your arms and legs. You're not getting away from me. What did they say?
قَالُوا لَا ضَيْرِ.
We don't care. Have fun.
إِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا مُنْقَلِبُونَ.
We're going back to Allah. That's what tawbah is about. Going back to Allah. Returning to Allah. What happened? They changed. These people were ready to defeat and fight a prophet after 1 minute they're in sujood. What's this? This is tawbah. Tawbah in 1 minute. A sincere tawbah. the worst criminal in 1 minute sincere tawbah, they can be a different person. If the tawbah was sincere. It is a model that defies all behavioral change theories. A person can change overnight. Umar ibn Khattab, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abu Huraira, Hassan ibn Thabit. I'm not saying these specific names, but many sahaba who embraced Islam before Islam, they had jahiliyyah, they committed zina, they were thieves, they were bandits, they were robbers. What changed them? Constantly making tawbah. Constantly saying, oh Allah, this is wrong. I need to cut this from my list of behaviors. I'm going to change. I'm going to stop doing this. And the next day, it's a changed man. There are two things we need to feel, because tawbah is a state of being. It's not an action. It's not a belief. It's a combination of things, a constant state. As Ibn al-Qayyim says, أَوَّلُ مَنْزِلَةٍ وَأَوْسَطُهَا وَأَخِرُهَا. How do you reach a state? What will motivate a person to feel that tawbah? To feel that need to return to Allah? The first thing is we must feel the heaviness of our sins. We must feel it. If we are committing sins and making mistakes and we have issues and we are ignoring them, dismissing them, minimizing them, something's really wrong. We are like that. You can get desensitized to sin. It can just be normal. And this is the most dangerous of all calamities. To feel that a sin is nothing. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah used to say, لا تنظروا إلى المعصية ولكن انظروا إلى من عصيت. Do not look at the size of the sin, but look at the one you disobeyed. Look at the grandeur, the generosity, the mercy of who I disobeyed. Don't look at the sin itself. That should create some realization, some pain, some guilt, some regret, some sadness. That must be there. If that is not there, then we are dead inside. A person who doesn't feel the pain of a sin has died inside before death. This is the first step. Second step, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you feel the regret, you feel the pain, you feel that guilt. That feeling, it must be there. But the second step you have to realize, Allah's mercy is greater than whatever it is you are feeling. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. O those who have transgressed, sinned, disobeyed, crossed the lines. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never ever despair of Allah's mercy. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah can forgive all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Come back to Allah, come back. There's always space. The back door is always open. You feel the regret, come back. That's the second step, is to fall into prostration, to feel the magnitude of Allah's mercy, to realize that no matter how far you went, it is just one step to come back. But it doesn't end here. There's a third step. You have to change. You have to stop that habit. You have to kill that behavior. Otherwise, it's not tawbah. If you don't actually stop the deed and reset the deed, you didn't do tawbah. You fulfill two or three conditions, not complete. MOT failed. Go back to the garage. Repair. The deed has to be stopped. What's going to make you stop? What's going to make you stop speaking that way, swearing in this way, smoking in this way, dealing in this sin, indulging it? What's going to make you stop is only one thing. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other way, there is no other engine that can stop a human being. What makes people drive slowly on the motorway? Fear of that speeding ticket. It's the only way. If you told people, drive slowly and we'll give you shopping discounts, nobody will drive slowly. But there's a camera, and there's black points, and there's fines. Why? You need that fear. It's part of the human psyche. We cannot survive without it. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Whoever fears the standing in front of Allah will get two gardens. الْخَوْفُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. There has to be some level of fear that the Lord who has been generous to me, and who has loved me, and has been merciful to me, I decided, I don't care. and I decided to spit in his direction and disobey him. And I am going to face some wrath because of this. Why does Allah describe Jahannam? Why does Allah describe consequences? To plant that fear in our heart, to make us realize it's not all fun and games. There's consequences. And if you forget the consequences for a moment, you will further indulge. So when you've realized and you've remembered the mercy of Allah and you've gone to sujood and you've asked His forgiveness, then to change, you need to remember the fear that if I don't change this behavior, if I don't stop this habit, something dark, something dangerous, something wrathful, some punishment is coming for me. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite the verses about Jahannam, he used to pause, he used to stop, and he used to say, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minan nar. Allahumma ajirni minan nar." How often he would ask Allah for protection from the fire. Does he have to ask Allah's protection from the fire? But when you realize, you remember those verses, you remember there's a serious consequence.
إن شجرة الزقوم طعام الأثيم.
In Jahannam there's a tree called Zakum, the food of the sinners.
كالمهل يغلي في البطون.
It's thorny, you eat it and your stomach, your intestines come out.
كغلي الحميم.
It burns the insides.
خذوه فاعتلوه إلى سواء الجحيم.
The verses about Jahannam are very crucial to the process of Tawbah. Because without the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no change. There's no behavioral change. We'll never take it seriously. And so this is a very important part that we have to remind ourselves, what is waiting for us if we don't fulfill Tawbah. So you go through realization, then you need the hope, then you need the fear, and that will push you towards change. And it's always a balance between the two, hope and fear. That's why the Quran always balances the two passages of hope and fear, hope and fear. And what happens after fear, and after change, and after the realization, is you have a person who is not the same as the person who began the process. And this is the power of Tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so happy about the tawbah, the returning of a slave of His. More than a Bedouin who lost his camel in the desert and he finds his camel, he got so excited, he said, "Anta Rabbi wa ana abduk." He had a slave, sorry, and he lost his slave, he found him. He got so excited, he jumbled up his words. He said, "You are my Lord and I am the slave." Allah is more excited, more happy about the returning of His slave than this man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lawla annakum tudhnibun." If not for you committing sins, لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ. Allah would have gotten rid of you. And He would have brought other people who came and sinned and they repented. Because the process of repentance is really crucial. Allah does not want angels. Allah does not want perfection. Allah wants people who fall down and they get back up straight away. That is what Tawbah is about. The path to Allah is not a path of perfection, a path of sinless angels. You and me are not angels, but it is about turning back to Allah every time we fall. There's a dua that we will end with, inshallah. There's a very important dua that every day of his life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say. Every morning, every evening. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say this dua. And I'm going to ask you all to repeat after me. Allahumma anta rabbi. O Allah, you are my Lord. La ilaha illa ant. There's none worthy of worship but you. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk. You created me and I am your slave. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika. And I am trying my best with my promise to you and my deal with you. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. O Allah, protect me from the evil I have done. Abu'u laka. بنعمتك علي وأبوء لك بذنبي. I confess your many blessings upon me and I confess to you my many sins. فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. This dua is called Sayyidul Istighfar, the greatest form of seeking forgiveness of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if somebody says this in the morning and they die before the evening, they said it sincerely from the bottom of their heart and they die before the evening, they will be entered into paradise. And if someone says it in the evening sincerely from the bottom of their heart and they die before the morning, they will be entered into paradise. This is the power of tawbah. Tawbah cleans the slate. It formats the disk. It empties the sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed to him, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء, if your sins reach the height of the heavens, ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا, you came to me sincerely with no partners, you addressed me, لغفرت لك ما كان منك ولا أبالي, I will forgive everything you did and I don't care. That is the readiness of Allah to accept. But who is ready to turn? In the story we recited at the beginning, it ends with some beautiful words. The first tawbah, but certainly not the last. When Adam alayhi salam has his realization, he makes his resolve, he changes his behavior, and he stands in front of Allah and he says, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, O Allah, we wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, if you don't forgive us and you don't have mercy on us, we are going to be destroyed. Without tawbah, we are destroyed. Because the mountain of our sins will slowly change us and devolve us until the Satan has devoured us. We cannot survive without tawbah. Tawbah to us is like water to fish. Is like oxygen. You can't do without it. Every morning and evening, we need to say this dua, Sayyidul Istighfar. Memorize it, download it, screenshot it, whatever you want, so that if Allah takes your life before the evening, you are guaranteed an entrance to paradise. And if Allah takes your life at night, in the morning, you are guaranteed entrance to paradise. May Allah make us from the people of paradise. May Allah make us from the people of tawbah. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa kafir anna sayyatina. اللهم استر عوراتنا وأمن روعاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If there's any questions, please, you can continue, you can bring them forth. He said, if a person feels like they're committing a sin and they're making tawbah and they're going back again, they're making tawbah, they're going back again, they're stuck in a vicious cycle, what would you advise them? This is not a vicious cycle, brother. This is a virtuous cycle. I know it feels like you're stuck in the deed. You feel stuck. But you have to almost see it like tawbah is a cycle. Every time you make tawbah, it gets slightly better. Until the circles are slowly moving upwards. It might take 10, 15, 20 cycles until you rid yourself of that deed. But the key thing, every time you make the sin, that firm resolve, this is a disgusting thing, I have to stop, I'm not going to go back to this, and I will stop. That has to be there. Even if you fall into it the next day, fine. In that moment, that commitment has to be there, 100% solid. If that commitment is there, you're bound to improve. You're bound to improve. And if you don't, you're not. It's not that you should not sin, you should not fall into the sin. It's every time you fall, you have to get back up. It's exhausting, but it is the path to change. You trust the process. Every time I will sincerely follow the steps of tawbah, regret, resolve, reset, redeem, I will follow these steps. You are bound to change. Bi-ithnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. And make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. And you may be stuck for 6 months, for a year, but you won't be stuck forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. So trust that process. It's a virtuous cycle and it takes a lot of stamina and it takes a lot of iman to get through it. But keep going, inshallah, and you will get through it. Allahu a'lam. There's two ways to overcome denial. The first one is feedback. When you have real good friends, is when you sat on dinner and you talk about somebody and they give you the death glare. I say, brother, we don't backbite on this table. Those are really good friends. You keep them very close. You pay to keep them around if you have to. Because if you're in denial, sometimes it takes a third person to remind you, Habibi, no. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. A believer is a mirror of another believer. When you look in the mirror, you see some chocolate smudged on your cheek. You say, oh no, what happened here? Oh, my tie is not in the right place. Oh my. The mirror exposes your faults. So if you are in denial, it just takes another person to say, Habibi, no, what you did was wrong. That's the first way. Advice, feedback, family, friends who fear Allah and they fear Allah for you. The second one is muhasaba, self-accountability. Ultimately, at the core of this denial, there's a lack of fear of Allah or a lack of a realization of that these sins can devour me if I let them accumulate. You know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, look, you know, your BMI has been increasing, you've been gathering weight. You see people, they say, look, you put on weight. You can visibly see things are getting worse. With sins, you can't. That's the problem. You don't see that account of sins, that bank of sins. You don't see they're increasing. You don't see that they're impacting you. But they absolutely are. Al-Hasan Basri used to say, "Inni la ara athara dhunubi fil khayli arkabuha." I see the effects of my sins in the horse that I ride. And the behavior of my wife. It comes back on you, right? So you need that realization is important, and there's no other way other than to sit down and hold yourself to account and have a hard, real, raw, honest conversation with yourself. There's no other way. So what I will say is the morning and evening, if you have the routine of sitting down 5 minutes for remembering Allah, when you come to this dua, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. Try to recall all the stuff you did today. All of the things that just need to be wiped out. So use that routine of istighfar. Use that as an opportunity. Or if you're going to say astaghfirullah 50, 20 times a day, 10 times a day, when you sit down, every time you say astaghfirullah, think of something you did that needs to be cleaned. So you need to confront it. Inshallah, that either the feedback, the self-accountability will help with the denial. I don't believe there's any other way. Wallahu a'lam. It's a good question. This question is like, how do we ensure that we are sincere when we ask Allah's forgiveness? You can't. Nobody can know. You can only try. Unless anybody here has got like a heart microscope that they've invented that shows us what someone's intention is, you can't know that you're sincere. But there are some simple steps that we can take. And the first thing is to pause and contemplate the meaning of what we're saying. Second is to pause and recall our sins while we are saying it. You know, so to slow it down. After salah, sahurah, 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 sahurah. Why? And one time I was reciting to my sheikh. He said to me, look behind you. I said, what? He said, is there someone behind you? I said, no. He said, why are you reciting so fast? I was, oh yeah, that's a good point. He said, nobody's running after you. Astaghfirullah. Take your time. Slowing it down is more likely to help you appreciate, relish the taste of the istighfar. I think that's the key component. Slow everything down and let yourself enjoy and taste and understand and feel the weight of what you're saying. And the other thing is to remember what I mentioned, the mercy, the fear of Allah, the weight of your sin. If you're thinking about those things, your tawbah is bound to be sincere. But you won't know if it's sincere. You can only try. But these are the ingredients. May Allah grant us sincere tawbah. The sign of a sincere tawbah, there's a symptom. Sign of a sincere tawbah is someone seriously trying to change their behavior. The sign of a lip service tawbah is astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Go back, right? Let's go back to the joint and have a few cigs. That's a sign of a fake tawbah. Sign of a sincere tawbah. Someone is wrestling with themselves to stop doing what they're doing, fighting with themselves. Right? They're really determined to change. That's the sign of a sincere tawbah. Allah knows best. How do you increase your fear of Allah? First one is to know Allah, His names that are related to His strength and might and power. Sari'ul Hisab, the quick in accounting. Shadidul Iqab, the severe in punishment. Al-Muntaqim, the avenger. Al-Qawiyul Mateen. Al-Azizul Hakim. Shadidul Iqabi, the Tawl. These names of Allah, if you spend a bit of time with them, they will strike a deep fear into your heart. There's another way also. To spend some time observing Allah's creation. Go watch videos of the wildfires and what it can do in 20 minutes. Or go look at videos of tsunamis, car accidents, natural disasters. When you observe the might and power of Allah, it leaves in you a sense of awe and a sense of fear that you don't want to mess with Allah. That's one way. The second one is to read Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Surah Hud, Surah Al-Takwir, Surah Al-Infitar, Surah Al-Qari'ah. These surahs which are full of reminders of the fire and the day of judgment and the standing in front of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. Hud and its five sister surahs made me have grey hair. That's how scary they were. So choose a surah. Something as small as Al-Qari'ah, Al-Ghashiyah. These small surahs, they are deadly. At-Takathur, 8 verses. If you spend some time with those 8 verses, you won't sleep at night. So spend some time with the surahs that instill the fear of Allah and the consciousness of Allah's punishment. Allah knows best.